Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain. We're looking about a 4-hour flight time today. We got clear skies, good visibility. Flight attendants, please prepare for takeoff.
Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon delight.
Damn right. Let's go hour number one on a Wednesday. Hope you're having a good hump day. It is definitely cooler out there. High of 67 today. Back up to 75 tomorrow. Hope everybody's doing well. Sometimes that weather change can cause a little strangeness and sickness. Hope everybody's doing good. Got people in the office a little sick. Trey Elling is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Sitting across from me is the one and only Kevin Dunn.
What's going on, man?
I'm doing well. All of a sudden, my sports watching schedule opened up a little bit tonight.
Yeah, well, we kind of saw that one coming a little bit.
Those darn meteorologists that Trey doesn't trust.
Yeah, they were all over this one about 4 days ago.
This one they've got. You realize if Trey was a Yankees fan with like season tickets, he'd be losing his mind today.
He'd still be there.
He'd be there.
He'd show up to the game.
He would still go to the game. If you are just jumping in and you hadn't heard, that is the biggest sort of scoreboard type of news of the day. The Astros game has been postponed officially until tomorrow. And so now there is no travel day in this series. They will go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, if necessary. We were talking about, you know, this series was getting going, about kind of the how the pitching would lay out. Now, for the people that are wondering, this basically just kind of rearranges the Johnny Allstaff game, kind of moves it around a little bit?
Yeah, exactly like we said yesterday, okay. That it rearranges. I mean, you're going to have a Johnny Allstaff game. You just don't know where it's going to be. We thought maybe it'd be game seven, but it makes sense to go game six because that allows both the guys who went yesterday to be on full day's rest. So Severino and Cole could be on full day's rest for game seven. The question is, if you win this game tomorrow and you're the Astros, I know they've scheduled Verlander, who'd be on full day's rest, to go game five. Well, if you're up 3-1, why not save your two big guns for home, where they've pitched better?
Go bullpen on game five.
Yeah, you're rolling. Yeah, I mean, you guys are, you're just having fun anyway with not free money, but you're up 3-1 at that point. You're feeling good. Guys are going to be more loose. See if you can't piece that together.
The only thing I would do there is in an era with tons of analytics, I would just double check analytics on Verlander with a little extra rest. Verlander home versus road,
yeah.
And then ask him. Then just
and you know they will.
And then just do the gut part of, Justin, you're our guy.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? If you want the ball, you're on normal rest. So if you want the baseball, we will give you the baseball. But would you rather do it at home? That's a great question. Well, if you get the win.
And the counterpoint to that would be, well, because that game five, we're still going to try and win. And if we go pretty much a bullpen game, then we're killing our bullpen. Or theoretically, you could really drain your bullpen when you kind of need them for game six and seven. Even though you got your two big guns going, you're still going to need them.
That's true. Yeah, good point.
I don't know. It's fun.
Yeah,
you know? I mean,
no,
I'm not sure there's a right answer.
I hadn't thought of
there's
that.
There's angles both ways.
I hadn't thought of that idea. I was thinking of it more from the Cole perspective than the Verlander perspective.
Yeah.
I was thinking of it as, wow, okay, this gives you that full rest, game seven. If it comes to that, you're handing the ball to Garrett Cole, but you're thinking of it in terms of if you have the kill shot. If you have a kill shot opportunity, do you take it in five with Verlander, or do you give that home opportunity in game six?
So he's got Verlander scheduled for five right now.
Yes.
So we'll see if that changes, though.
Right. Right now, it's Greinke and Tanaka game four, and then Verlander Paxton is game five.
Lose, I doubt he would. Lose your 2-2, and let's win this thing and have to go get one at home, knowing we got Cole in seven.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that.
Either way, I can see.
And either way, we now know the opponent for the American League champion. Those Washington Nationals slammed the door on the Cardinals.
They did, and we told you Corbin, Dakota Hudson, that was advantage Corbin. I figured St. Louis, they're cockroaches. I thought they'd have something, and they just didn't. You know, I mean, in terms of, I thought they'd at least make it a little more competitive.
Right.
And I guess they kind of did. They got that thing to 7-4. So in fairness to them, they did fight. They did show that cockroach mentality and made Washington sweat and made their fans, even in a game four where you're about to sweep, go, here we go. Here we go. I knew it. Seen this. I mean, you saw there was this, I'm assuming wife, could have been mistress. Older couple, and after the second out, she hugged him like almost to get the hug in before he just melted down. Yeah, you saw that. Where like it took until that point where I think we got this.
Yeah, right. And he kind of gave her a half a look,
if
this happens,
if something happens here,
we are writing up papers. What are you doing? They got it done. The Washington Nationals are going back to the World Series, and I'm reading an article today, reading through the game stuff after the game. You talked about Patrick Corbin yesterday, like you just said, an advantage over the other pitcher. Patrick Corbin was a guy that the Nats acquired with the money they saved because Bryce Harper moved on.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So it ends up tying back into that Bryce Harper story we mentioned yesterday. And what's he going? By the way, it's his birthday today.
Oh, is it really?
I mean, if you need another little
fantastic
jab, today he is 27 years old. Just for the record.
It was the right move. I told you I wouldn't touch him. I wouldn't touch Machado. I wouldn't pay that much.
You did? Yeah. And
I'm going to pay that much. I'm going to go get Garrett Cole.
You're going to get Corbin, who's a really, really good pitcher.
Yeah, right. I'm not going to pay that much money. And that's the thing. They took a chunk of that money and were able to spend it a little bit, right?
Yeah, he wasn't all the $140 million, but he was part of it.
But he was part of it, yeah.
That they acquired. And Patrick Corbin goes 12 strikeouts last night, 5 innings. He did give up the 4 runs ultimately, was responsible for them. But he also pulled off some great Major League Baseball history. I love it when something happens in this sport that's never happened. First pitcher in the playoffs to have 10 strikeouts in the first 4 innings.
It was nasty.
Do that math. Reasonably, there's 12.
Yep.
Right? Now, technically, the catcher could keep dropping the ball and you have infinite strikeouts. I get that. But reasonably, it's 12 slots, 10 in the first. That's amazing stuff. Nobody'd ever done it. And that really was the message because they're also getting runs during that time. Man, St. Louis, I'd have felt like packing my bags middle 5.
Right.
And they
didn't,
on them.
In fairness to them.
They didn't. You're right.
I mean,
that's
kind of who they've been all year. But Corbin's thought of and known as a two-pitch pitcher, big-time wipeout slider, fastball, and it can come and go, as you saw in that game. But, man, it was there early on, and that was enough. You get the 7 spot in the first. They ambush them. They are a hot team right now, and it would not surprise me at all if they win this whole thing.
Now the question will be, with them, it's going to be a rust-rest discussion.
Yeah, and have you looked at the numbers at that?
Because
they are overwhelming historically.
The numbers are, let me guess here if I can recall. The numbers are overwhelming.
Are you going to take rust or rest?
I'm going to say that the rust argument holds true, and the more time off, it's actually bad.
It's like 90. I mean, it's overwhelming that rust hurts.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The first game of the World Series is already set. You know how they do these with the finals and championship stuff. Game one is a week from yesterday, the 22nd.
Okay.
So that means they will get almost a full, that's 6 full days, right? Yeah, 6 full days off, and then they play game one.
I thought the post-game crew was really good. Who was it? Who was one of the, because they have 2 new guys, Jimmy Rollins.
I did not see a lot of
post-game. Curtis Granderson, who's phenomenal.
I watched a little post-game celebration, and then I was checking out some other stuff.
I hope he does this, and we get to see him more. MLB Network should hire him. But Granderson was part of 2 of those teams that swept a championship series and lost in the World Series. And he said, you know, I've thought about it. Obviously, I don't have the right answer being 0-2 in that. He said, but what I would do, he said, is tell these guys, we're treating tomorrow like there's a game. So we're going to have a really intense practice. So the meaning today.
Wow.
Yeah.
He would turn it around that fast.
Yeah, because I thought, oh, give him a couple days off, then we'll come back, we'll slowly get back into it. He's like, no. He's like, you got to keep that. And Pedro kind of echoed that. He said, he used to go run stairs and run like 50 sprints.
Really?
And he said, oh, I would treat that as after my first start in the regular season. He's like, you got to stay that sharp.
The only good news for them is because it's a sweep.
Now, Granderson did say I'd treat everything else, so then have a travel day, so day off, mm-hmm. and then the next day will be game seven, and then a couple, and then a day off, and then so, I mean, there were some days off in there, but I thought it was interesting you said tomorrow. Intense practice.
That's an interesting idea. Yeah, that
because it's game five, I guess.
The only good news might be that they don't obviously extend a whole lot of. There's not a ton of emotion coming out of that series. Plus, they didn't beat any kind of, with all due respect, St. Louis, any kind of like historic team. They didn't take somebody just incredibly historic out where they were building themselves up extra crazy. I read Shaq's autobiography back in the day. Shaq talks about. When they screwed up their first NBA Finals, his first NBA Finals when they lost to the Rockets, they got way too excited after winning the Eastern Conference Championship, and they had too much time off. They had like 8 days, 9 days, whatever it was, and he said they never really got reset. Hmm. And then Hakeem and the Rockets just stepped on them and screw up things in game one, and then it just fell all apart.
I didn't think that was going to be a sweep, but Houston was a better team.
Yeah, and they were, but
that's interesting.
But he believes they at least would have given themselves an opportunity if things had been a little different. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Washington. But boy, they look really good, and
they look great.
You could feel it around that team. We've said it about the Astros. Your Cubs in 2016 had that feel to them. You can just feel when a team digs each other. Guys like each other. The guys know their roles and how they fit into everything. They're fun to watch.
Yeah, I said a couple months ago that I know it just seems like it's going to be Yankees Astros winner against the Dodgers, but with baseball you never know. And if someone gets hot, I didn't think it'd be the Nationals at the time. I was actually kind of thinking more about your Braves, but mm-hmm. someone can do it. And you have to have the requisite arms and still at enough bats, and they have that. I mean, the two best offenses are going to be playing tomorrow night with Houston and New York. Here it is. One of the past eight clubs to win the pennant in four games won the World Series.
Wow, just one of eight. That's not a good number.
Yeah, that's enough of a number where it's not some sports center number, and you go, okay, that means nothing.
In a kooky sport like baseball, when you throw a number like that out, it's like, oh, okay. All right, it's across a lot of time, and it's different teams, and it's different circumstances, and different weather, and all that. That's pretty interesting. So we'll keep an eye on that as the Nats get ready for the World Series. Before we go any further, let me tell you about Total Men's Primary Care here. Oh, that was Kevin Versailles. It's me.
I thought I was the sick one. By the way, if I'm struggling here. I'm starting to get whatever's out there.
You got a little, what do we got, allergies? What do we got?
Well, I'd had allergies, but yeah, this feels a little different.
Something going on. Well, if you're starting to feel a little bad like Kevin is, and you think it might be something a little serious, or you just want to figure out what it is, Total Men's Primary Care is the place to go if it's time for a yearly well check. If you think or know that you have low T and you haven't been treated the right way at another facility, then let them show you why they have the highest online rating of any healthcare group in the Austin area. That new center is open down in New Braunfels. It's their 20th center in the area. So 18 total men's locations, the two total care facilities that are open to serve the whole family. They are ready to take care of you. TotalMens.com is where you go to find the right location for you, whether it's a little sniffle, you're feeling a little, you got the chest cold coming on, or it might be something a little more serious. Total Men's Primary Care, the doctor's office just for men. It is that time of year.
It is that time of year. I feel like everyone here is sick, so.
Yeah.
To hell all y'all.
Yeah, you know
they
what?
They got me sick.
Trey's going to enjoy.
I feel good, guys.
Oh, God.
You are? Because I was going to say, you're going
to
feel.
He and I are so yin and yang, I swear to God. Like, you know what that means? That means that I'm going to have like some bad hip thing tomorrow.
Because I'm dealing with the hip thing right now.
Oh, you are?
Y'all just give stuff
okay,
to each
perfect.
Other like that?
Good.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we do.
Yeah, trailing.
Like Sam Mono and his girlfriend.
Trey will enjoy this one.
Did I say Sam Mono? Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold and the Mono.
There you go.
Yeah. By the way, to whatever announcer I heard refer to that last game of his with the Cowboys as Mono Imano, that was funny. That's well done.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Trey at times has accused me of being an overhugger because Trey does not like to hug. No hugs, Trey. No hugs for any of you for...
I'll hug all y'all right
two or three
now.
Weeks. I'm going to... Today, I didn't fist bump Brad. I'm not going to hug Kevin for a while, and I'm staying away from you. Even though you're going to co-host with me pregame on Saturday, you sit on the other side of that table.
Now, to be fair, I do not consider you an over-hugger. I'm just somebody who's hypersensitive about personal space. This is a me problem. This is all on me here. I'm somebody who's not a fan of personal touch. Even my wife at times has issues with how weird I am about that. So it's not on you. That's on me.
He's talked about it, remember?
Fair enough. Yeah, I know he has.
At times that she may accidentally like touch him in the bed or maybe mean to touch him. And
freaks him out.
I flinch.
You flinch, yeah.
That's romance is what that is. There's nothing more romantic than that.
Oh, man. It's like Doogie Howser with the clay when he finally started banging. What's her name? That was Doogie Howser. That was Kevin Arnold on that one.
Oh, Fred Savage.
Yeah. Remember that scene?
With him and Winnie?
Winnie
Cooper?
Winnie.
When they finally kissed?
Yeah. Or I think they finally did it.
Oh, in the barn at the last episode. Spoiler alert.
God, we really need to uncover.
Wasn't that the last episode?
I don't know. I had stopped watching, years before, but I do remember the one where, pretty sure it was them, where there was like, they were like doing the clay thing, you know, where you're...
Are you thinking of the movie Ghost with Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze?
No, you think I saw that?
Trey, or no? I just wanted to check. Okay.
I was 13 by then.
I don't remember Winnie and Kevin doing pottery. I remember
I'm hallucinating. I remember the... Maybe I did that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just Kevin.
I don't remember that, Kevin. Not sure I quite remember.
It was right after Winnie, Kevin though. And Paul had to climb rope in gym class.
Yes. That's what it was. That is what it was.
Good old Paul. He's the drummer in Marilyn Manson.
I don't believe that's true, but I loved all those urban legends about Paul grew up to be like a serial killer or Marilyn Manson or whatever. Man.
He's the member of that band that had his ribs removed.
Yes. Right, exactly.
Thought it was one rib.
Oh, my God. All right, hope you're having a good Wednesday. Coming up, we're going to check in with Rod Babers over at 7-Eleven. He's out there on East Koenig today with all kinds of cool stuff for you and an opportunity for you to have a cool experience around the Texas-Kansas game, so pay attention for that. And then coming up at 3:45, one of my absolute favorite sports records of all time that I was reminded of last night because of baseball. We'll get that out there because there's just never a bad reason to say it. And we were stacked full of guests. Jeff Howe at 4, Ian Boyd of Inside Texas at 5, Ben Rogers of 105.3 The Fan at 6. Good Lord, we got to talk some Cowboys with him today.
I know.
There's just all kinds of stuff going on with them.
I may take a nap that 30 minutes. I mean, not because I don't love Ben, but that's... I'm going to let you guys have some time. You doing okay with that?
I'm doing all right. Not my first rodeo with that group.
I guess you're 6-6. I don't know what Tampa. What's Tampa?
Tampa is...
Are they 3-3? That'd be great if they are.
Are they 3-3? No, I think they were 2-3 going to the game. I think the Bucks are... Hold on. I should have it here, don't I?
So you're under 500.
The Bucks are 2-4, I want to say. Yeah, double check me on that. I think
all right,
they're 2-4.
I got you.
I think they're 2-4. Yeah, Cowboys and Aggies sitting at 6-6 combined, which... I thought that was going to be, needed the Aggies at 4-2 and hoping that the Cowboys could find like 4-2 or 5-1. 5-1 looked tough at the beginning of the year, but with the Bridgewater, it should have probably been 5-1.
Yeah, I would think so, right?
I'll give them one. I'm not saying they needed to be 6-0. You've accused me over the years of being a self-hating Cowboys fan at times.
Yeah, not this year. We're 2-4, by the way, Tampa.
It is 2-4, yeah. Would you trust them against the Eagles right now? Like, if just straight pick?
No. I mean, I wouldn't trust them, but I may take them.
Okay, because they're favored by about a field goal.
Do we have to do picks today or tomorrow?
We'll do that tomorrow. Today's Wednesday.
What month is this?
Yes, we'll do picks tomorrow, and they are definitely making us pick the Texans game and the Cowboys game. So we'll get to do it officially tomorrow. But like right now, I'd feel weird taking the Cowboys. I know they're at home, but continuing to hear about these injuries.
Are you buying the Eagles? I mean, they're 3-3 too.
No, I know. And they gave up
a bunch of points.
They give up that stuff to Minnesota, but the Cowboys just don't feel like they're that in the passing
game.
We're
taking
the
Cowboys tomorrow.
All right. Okay.
Let them hang.
Tyron Smith and Lyle Collins didn't practice. They held them out of practice yesterday, or maybe it's today they held them out of practice.
All right, we'll wait till tomorrow to make that pick.
There you go. There's possibility that they say they're going to they're going to try to play, but they've had combinations at offensive line this week that are troubling for you if you're a Cowboys fan. I don't know if they know for sure if Amari Cooper is going to play in this game yet. So we'll check in with Ben at 6:05 and get his thoughts. Dallas had to just melt sports radio-wise after the Jets did that on Sunday.
Good old Sam Mono, Sam Darnold. I guess we didn't get to it yesterday. We talked about Marcus Peters getting traded, and I thought, well, Tlaib's injured, and they're trading Peters.
I know.
Are they cashing it in for the year, or we don't need anything there? And then they go get Jalen Ramsey.
Mm-hmm.
Gave up a lot, though.
Yeah, right as we were going off the air yesterday, that deal goes down. Jalen Ramsey to the Rams for essentially three picks, but two first-round picks, 20 and 21, and then fourth round, and that's the years, not the number of picks.
And they don't have a deal set with Ramsey. This is not like a sign and trade.
And then a fourth round pick for 2021. So they don't have anything beyond this year, is what you're saying.
Maybe this year or next year, but it's coming up.
Okay. Yeah, that's that was a weird combination, because you could see you could almost hear that story and think, well, wait a minute, if Tlaib's on the IR right now, so they think they may be able to get him back for the playoffs, so get rid of Peters, get a linebacker, but then also Jalen Ramsey coming to the Rams. As of today, he says he's happy that he's a Ram.
And we'll see about that.
And they need him to pass a physical, which he may not have been able to do in Jacksonville, but somehow I think he'll be able to do in L.A., and he will be ready to go. They think he might be ready to go this week. The Rams are in Atlanta on Sunday. If he passes the physical, Kevin, they said he's going to play.
Ramsey remains on his rookie contract, which is scheduled to pay him $13.7 million in 2020. The Rams intend to eventually sign him to a long-term extension.
Ah, there it is. Okay. Speaking of NFL news, coming up in the Big Three, and speaking of rookie contracts, there's a guy on a rookie contract that just got replaced again in the NFL. We'll get to that story. Also check in with Rod Babers for the Longhorn Insider segment. Texas still trying to shake off what happened in the Cotton Bowl and get ready for Kansas, kind of a hard team to pay attention to and get focused on. We'll ask Rod about that coming up. And again, Jeff Howe coming up from Horns 24/7 at 4:05. I listened to the Longhorn Blitz podcast last night. They did a great job as always. Want to get some more of Jeff's thoughts on what Texas looks like to him coming out of the OU game. That's all coming up on the Horn.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. Mm-hmm. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover.
Any particular reason, Trey?
Skies. You know, the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
On today's midday show, our Wednesday Power Rankings, we're ranking our favorite musical decades. And BK and I, for once, because it very rarely happens, had the same number one, and that would be the 1970s. So today, at least up until 6 o'clock when Isaiah takes over, the music I'm playing is music that came from the 70s.
There you go.
Fantastic album.
Man, his voice just, it's unreal. Unbelievable.
Very underrated. He's not talked about enough.
Agreed with that. What would you guys number one be in terms of your favorite musical decade?
You said a good show today, by the way.
Thank you.
The funny bit on the old people.
Oh, the nursing home Fight Club?
Jeez. I like how y'all call them olds. That's funny. I've heard that before. I like it, though.
I think that's from UT message board. That might be from the IT or the Orange Bloods message board back in the day.
Okay.
Man, I mean, I guess my gut as a somewhat music snob would be, I mean, the 60s gets a lot of love as a decade.
Sure.
So that would probably be one of mine. I always penalize the 70s for disco, but I know why you guys end up with the 70s.
Understood.
Because there's a lot of great stuff that was released in the 70s that disco kind of sometimes distracts me from.
Well, it's just like the synth-heavy element of the 80s is what that decade loses points in my mind for.
Right, but if I really think about stuff that was put out in the 80s, I mean, especially because I'm a kid, I really grew up in music in that decade, so if you pressed me, I'd say 80s.
Wow, that's good to hear. I know you guys think I'm going to say 80s.
I do think you're going to say
80s. And I'm obviously an 80s guy. Hip-hop, it's easy. I mean, my two favorite types of music would be rock and hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
So hip-hop, it's the 90s. And then rock, really, it could be 60s, 70s, or 80s.
Yeah.
Because my favorite band's the Beatles.
Well, then you definitely want to go 60s there.
Right.
Yeah, I would go hard 60s.
In terms of random, just cheesy music that I love, 80s.
It's the 80s, yeah. That's it. That's a good question. I like that one. Good to hear some Van Morrison today. Also on the birthday front, happy birthday to John Mayer and Flea today. Why don't they do a collaboration? I need some heavy bass on one of those John Mayer tunes.
You like Mayer?
I like a lot of what, as a musician? I mean, honestly, he's one of those guys that bugs a lot of people. I don't have much of an opinion one way or the other.
I think his douchiness outside of the music bugged a lot of people.
Yeah, I don't know. I know the guy has some weird stories, but like everything I've heard from John Mayer, I don't dislike it. I haven't been to shows and flip out over John Mayer.
Here's always the question with Chad.
But, you know,
do you own it?
I do not.
Okay, I do.
I don't own any.
You don't own any John Mayer.
I also don't own Dave Matthews Band, but I kind of put those two acts in the same category in my head. Everything I hear, I don't dislike it. It's pretty good.
I have a couple Dave Matthews CDs. I'll give you one.
I'd go to a show. It's not like, but it's just kind of, I know you hate when I use this phrase. There's an easy listening quality.
Oh, boy.
To John Mayer, isn't there?
Here comes Stephen Michael Kerr.
It's easy to listen to. Nice. It's not, I mean, there's nothing like harsh about the music.
I know.
Non-harsh kind
of. And there's nothing wrong
rock.
With
rock. No, absolutely not.
I mean, you don't. Music doesn't have to be harsh.
John Mayer could be somebody's like James Taylor. Like I love James Taylor. Somebody could fall in love with Mayer the same way, and I totally get it.
Stop digging.
There's nothing harsh about JT.
Think you're on the clock for the next 2 weeks for John Mayer and the entire band that plays with Dave Matthews.
Yes. You? Mayer's 42.
Is the violinist still around?
You're gonna put me on the clock for
a guy who's the only talented one.
A guy who's 42 years old. Come on, man. All right. We'll check in with Rod Babers at the Longhorn Insider segment. He's out and about today. Coming up here in just a second. Real quick, a big three with a kind of big NFL story.
The Big Three.
The Big Three brought to you by ChristopherWaters.com. Call Chris Waters today at 512-649-4000 to get your home sold. Guaranteed.
We mentioned the big NFL story, and that's Jalen Ramsey ending up with the Rams. They'd already sent Marcus Peters to Baltimore. So those two guys is definitely something to keep your eye on as the NFL continues. The smaller NFL story, the Titans have decided, oh Lord, they're going to go with Ryan Tannehill as their starting quarterback. Mariota still on his rookie contract, but they haven't quite seen enough to make him re-up. That sounds familiar. I think there's another guy from that draft that is in that situation, Mr. Winston.
Yeah, but say you're right. I mean, those are the two guys that are in the same boat. But it's not just that they're not getting re-upped. It's, in Mariota's case, you're getting benched.
Yes, he's getting benched. And
rightfully so.
But he said he doesn't look at this as the end of his career. Nor should he, Kevin, because he just got replaced by Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
There's an up and down to that dude that everybody better be ready for in Tennessee.
Mariota's a backup in this league. The good thing for Mariota and guys like him is that there's not enough starters to go around in this league.
No, there's not. Here's my Ryan Tannehill analogy. Hit me today. I think Ryan Tannehill as your starter is like deciding to snort cocaine for breakfast.
Hmm.
Whatever's going to happen, happens, and then eventually you realize you probably shouldn't snort cocaine for breakfast, then you recover, then it gets better, then something else happens, and you think, you know what I need for tomorrow morning? Some cocaine. That's Ryan Tannehill. It may give you a couple of crazy awesome days, but ultimately it is going to crush you.
Couldn't follow along there, but I got you now.
You know, I mean, you'll have a couple party days, but then people watch film and stuff, and you're in big trouble. Big trouble. We've obviously talked baseball. No Astros game tonight. The Astros will play New York tomorrow. It's a 7 o'clock start tomorrow, and then that game 5 on Friday is now a 6 o'clock start in New York, and then they'll go Saturday, Sunday with no travel day. Well, there's got to travel, but no travel day in the series now. Nats in the series now for the first time since 1933. Congrats to them. They knocked St. Louis out. 7-4 was the score last night.
It's a good story. And just to show for all you Cardinals fans, it's not just Cubs fans, it's not just Astros fans, it's not just people that were in the same division with you for a long time that and you kicked our ass that are just bitter about stuff, and that's basically what it is, that it's kind of the whole country. I mean, you guys are, you know, I mean, St. Louis to me is number two in terms of, we always rank college programs and where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to tell you who number one is?
In Major League Baseball?
Yeah, the Cubs. We got that.
You do not have to tell me who number one is.
Yeah, they're going for 28 this year.
Yes, they are.
Number two to me would be St. Louis.
Yeah.
Now you could, I mean, I don't know, Dodgers may fit in there if you go L.A. and Brooklyn, but no, St. Louis is, historically,
agree.
You know.
It's that way with titles, isn't it? Don't they have like
18, I think it's that way with titles,
16,
too, yeah.
15, mm-hmm. whatever that number is. Yeah, I agree. One other quick note, Joe Maddon is officially the manager of the Angels. You talked about this the moment the Cubs let him go.
I'm a genius.
You're a genius.
Yeah, I knew it.
You did.
29 million other people?
You and Jeff Passan had it all figured out.
Right, exactly. I like sports stories like that, though, that are just on the table, and we talk about it. It's fun with games to you know, afterwards go, oh, no one ever saw that coming, because that's what makes it fun. But with stories like that, you kind of see the writing on the wall, whether someone's going to be a manager,
right.
and that one just fits. So I think it made sense, and they've got a young club. I'm not sure just how much talent's there, but I think he's going to be the right guy. And it sounds like they may need to clean up other stuff with that whole organization, too,
yep.
with what's come out with Skaggs. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen that.
I've been seeing a little bit.
Is it public relations or communications director?
Yeah, the guy's there. That's
giving him OxyContin?
Yep, that's a rough story. Rough story. Maybe Joe Maddon is the right guy to come in and deal with that stuff. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, because Maddon treats them like kids, and sounds like maybe some of them need that.
Yeah, maybe they were a little too adult in certain situations. All right, there's your big three. Let's check in with Rod Babers. We do it at 3:30 and 4:30. The Longhorn Insider, normally he's sitting right next to us, but today he's out and about at 7-Eleven on East Koenig. Rod, how we doing today?
Doing great, hanging out here in the parking lot, having a good time. I got my friends from Recover 180 and Highball Sparkling Energy Water out here giving out samples. We're actually still signing up folks for VIP passes to the Texas Tail Garden, our pregame festivities at 17th and San Jacinto for the Texas-Kansas game. And if you have the 7-Eleven Rewards app, you can come out here and also get hooked up with, I believe it's $1 hot beverages. They're getting ready for the cold weather. So $1 hot beverages of any size with the 7-Eleven Rewards app. And you can get a big gulp for, I think, 49 cents. All right, they're hooking you up, but you got to have the 7-Eleven Rewards app to get it. So shout out to all our friends out here are making this thing happen. Also, our friends at Hint also, they got this great kind of hint flavored water, which is also really good. Hmm. They're out here giving out samples, having a good time. And we also want to thank the Hot Mess Music Fest folks, because they gave out tickets to the Hot Mess Music Fest, which is Snoop Dogg and Ludacris and Cypress Hill. No more tickets available. Everybody got those.
Jeez.
Once they heard DJ Snoopadelic was coming, people kind of they went and came up and snatched those up pretty quickly. But I want to thank everybody else who came out just to show love. Really appreciate all the folks who came to visit us today.
Snoop, Ludacris, and Cypress Hill are all playing together?
Uh-huh.
At this November 9th and 10th, it's the Hot Mess Music Fest in Cedar Park, and I believe it's the Hot Spot is a bar up there, and they have the venue, and they're going to have a festival, and Snoop Dogg changed his name. I didn't even know that. Now he's DJ Snoopadelic. That's his new name.
All right.
I'm not joking. That's his new name.
That's
he changed
fantastic.
It. Like P. Diddy changes his name all the time.
Right. Yeah, I say P. Diddy's had like five or six of them. I'm used to that. Snoop Dogg hasn't changed his name. Has he until now?
Yeah, he changed his name a couple times. He was Snoop Lion at one point. Snoop Lion. Then there's Snoop Dogg. Then Snoop Doggy Dog. Then he's just Snoop. And then there's, it changes all the time.
Probably a schnizzle in there or something like that.
Yes. I mean, there's a schnizzle, a Snoop.
Some izzles.
Some izzles.
For shizzle, my nizzle. Yes,
Oh, that sounds fun. Hey, Rod, you know, with Jalen Ramsey going to the Rams, it does seem like they are all in right now. How much of a help do you think that's going to give them?
Well, yeah, I mean, if he's the best corner in the game, and some people believe him to be that guy, and that means they have the best probably defensive lineman in the game, best defensive pass rusher in Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, it's got to help. I know they traded away Marcus Peters, who's been very inconsistent since he got to the Rams, but I don't know if that's their issue, right? Something's going on with Jared Goff, and we can't really figure it out, and I don't know if the Rams have figured it out either, but he hasn't been the same player the last 12 games. He's got 13 touchdowns, 14 interceptions the last 12 games. games. Something's happening with Jared Goff. Maybe he was a system quarterback who's not the guy you thought he was, but I would be more concerned about that. The offensive line was a top 10 offensive line last year, and this year it's around the bottom. I think Pro Football Focus had him ranked as the 31st ranked all pass blocking offensive line in the league. So their issues are not on the defensive side of the ball at all. But I mean, Jalen Ramsey, that's going to work, but they got to pay him. I mean, he's going to have a fifth-year option next year, but then they got to pay him a big contract. He wants to be the highest-paid corner in the league. I don't know if it's worth it, but I will say every big trade that we've seen lately where we think someone has overpaid has worked out. The Laremy Tunsil trade with the Texans, there's no doubt about it. The Texans offensive line is much better. Amari Cooper with the Cowboys helped the Cowboys. Khalil Mack to the Bears helped the Bears. So maybe they're thinking, you know what, let's go get an All-Pro. He will instantaneously help us.
That's a good point. Recency bias will have these GMs thinking, no, you know what, it is worth it.
That's true. Rod, before we let you go this hour, I wanted to get kind of a psychological question your way, because human nature, sometimes fans don't want their players to be human, but human nature is you come off an LSU loss, how do you get ready to go for Rice? In this case, you come off Oklahoma, how the heck can you really get ready for Kansas? You know what they are, you can never go get it. Talk to me about the player perspective on this huge game that you missed and you can never get back, and then you just know you're not playing a good team the next week.
I will say this, and I've had disastrous bad games. I mean, my 2000 Oklahoma game was way worse than the game that they played. I mean, we were blown out of the water and embarrassed on national TV.
Right.
So I remember, you know, coming out of that game, and I wanted to get back to practice, and I wanted to get back to work really bad. I felt embarrassed, and I just wanted to get back to correcting my mistakes, and I wanted to get to the game week so I could get better. So I know I needed to improve. So I know the guys, there's a workman-like mentality. There's a blue-collar mentality now in that locker room. Honestly, everywhere, because the coaches got out-coached too. So they're going to work. I guarantee the players are going to work, the equipment guys, everybody's giving their 110% after a loss like that, because I think it's felt all throughout that program, because everybody feel like they disappointed. Everybody feel like they could have done more. So I think ultimately you win for it. I don't think you'd worry about psychologically them coming back. They do have good leadership, even though the leaders didn't play well in that Texas OU game. But when you get a lot of guys with a lot of pride, and Tom Herman, it starts with him, and you get embarrassed like that. And they were embarrassed just because of the missed tackles and the sacks, but the score was not embarrassing. They fought real hard. They didn't, you know, we laid down basically in that 2000 game. That was the embarrassing thing for us. And that shouldn't happen when you have, you know, that Texas on the front of your jersey and Hell for the Name on the back of the jersey too. So I'm not worried about those guys psychologically bouncing back. I'm not. I think, honestly, you may get some of the best performances you had of the year from a lot of guys who got a ton of pride, and that pride was hurt in that game versus OU.
It's interesting, and maybe it is the opposite of what I would think. Maybe it's the human nature the other way, Kevin. Maybe it's when you win a game real big, human nature is you let down. But maybe the human nature of what Rod's talking about is there too. If you're really bad in your mind, then human nature is you got to come back immediately.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think it makes a lot of sense. Hey, Rod, quickly, your thoughts on Kansas. They do get that week off, and Les Koenig is gone. New kind of offense. I mean, look, with Puka Williams, I've seen, Carter Stanley make some good throws. This is enough of a matchup, and there are some things that Texas, as you said, wanted to get back to work on that they can improve on in this game, namely tackling.
Yeah, I think when you got Puka, and obviously Puka's overmatched. I mean, Texas will have more talent on their roster than Kansas, but he's one of those guys, and heard my man Matt Buller bringing us, he's one of those guys that can be on Texas' roster. He probably could be a starting running back for Texas right now. Right? I mean, so going up against a guy like that.
But how many carries would he get?
Would he start?
Would he be the starter on the depth chart?
Of course, that would be some drama, but, you know, I think they'll get their opportunities to have to tackle him in the open field. Listen, guys, the Texas defense is beat up. Even historically, guys, I have challenged Longhorn fans to give me a time where we've seen more injuries in the Texas secondary than this year, and you'd probably be hard-pressed to find it. So they're going to be challenged because you got third guys who would have been third-string and, hell, maybe even fourth-string guys who are going to be getting meaningful reps out there, and they're going to be in their first reps. So, you know, I expect them to come out with a lot of fire. fire, but also I expect the defense, them to be able to move the ball in the defense just because there are so many young guys out there. I don't expect them to shut out Kansas by any stretch of the imagination. So, I really want to see them improve on tackling. For Tom Herman, the question is, do you sacrifice your culture with the physicality for depth and for health? Because right now, you know, you're a little too battered and bruised to be hitting so much at practice. How do you get better at tackling when you don't really want the physical element of it at practice? That's going to be the conundrum for Tom Herman. Looking forward to see how they respond to it.
Good stuff, as always, from Rod Babers. Weekdays 1 to 3 with the Rodcast. Also, stay right here because Rod's about to tell you even more about 7-Eleven and how you get that experience for the Kansas game. So stay right here. Also, another reason to stick. Got Crap Bag coming up next with one of my favorite untouchable stats in all of sports history. And Jeff Howes coming up at the top of the 4 o'clock hour from Horns 24-7. Stay with us. It's the Horn.
Chad's Crap Bag.
Crap Bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
All right, a little crap bag for you on a Wednesday. If you listen, you know I'm all about the nerdiness and the stats and stuff. And last night, after watching the Nats win, I was reminded of one of my favorite sports stats of all time. Congratulations to the Washington Nationals. They are in the World Series for the first time since 1933. They lost it that year. The last time they won the World Series was 1924. They had a guy on their team named Walter Johnson. Now, if you don't know about Walter Johnson, he has a few records. He has a few things that he's done. It's pretty impressive.
When was he born?
He was born a long time ago, Kevin.
Who cares?
So in 1924, in the World Series, Walter Johnson pitched 12 innings in Game 1.
Jeez.
They actually lost it in 12, unfortunately, 4-3.
What a wimp.
He came back in Game 2, and had 8 innings pitched. They lost it. That might have actually been Game 3 or 4, my bad. Then he finished the series in Game 7 as a relief pitcher and pitched 4 innings. They won that game. That season in 24, he had 20 complete games, 20 of them, and 6 complete game shutouts, which brings me to the stat. I found this one out when I was a little kid looking up baseball stats, and it's never left me. The stat is this. Who has the most complete game shutouts ever in baseball history?
So not just postseason.
Not just postseason at all. Complete game shutout.
I bet you I know.
Let's start towards the bottom of this list. Guys you know because they're playing right now. Clayton Kershaw's done it 15 times.
Okay.
It's pretty impressive. CeCe Sabathia's done it 12 times. King Felix has done it 11 times in his career. Go up the list a little bit. You find names like Randy Johnson did it 37 times in his career.
Whoa.
It's crazy. Roger Clemens, Texas legend, of course, and legendary, you know, Hall of Fame, hello, quality player, 46 times for Roger Clemens. Then we get to the real top, and we're getting into the top 15 now. How about Bob Gibson, 56 times in his career? That's 13th all time.
And it's going to make sense as you go, this is kind of opposite of some of the other lists we have now. As you work your way up, you're going to go farther back.
You're going way back in time.
You're going way back in time because they allowed you to.
Yeah, because of how pitchers are used. Seventh on the all-time list here is Nolan Ryan. He did it 61 times. Complete game, shutout. Number three all-time is Christy Mathewson with 79 of them, which is crazy and stupid. Until you get to number two, which is Pete Alexander. He did it 90 times. 90 complete game shutouts. Walter Johnson had 20 more than that.
That's crazy, man.
110 complete game shutouts in his career. I understand it was a different time. I understand the eras and all that. But especially the way baseball has developed and evolved and what we know about the human body, you talk about a record that's never getting touched again. Ever.
Oh, God, no.
Never.
No.
In fact, Clayton Kershaw is the first current pitcher I could find on that list, Kevin, and he's at 15. Nobody's ever touching that thing. Walter Johnson, I don't know how your arm didn't fall off, son, but the last time the Nats franchise as the Washington Senators were in the World Series and won it, that guy was actually on their staff.
It's been
a while.
Good digging there. Good Thank numbers. You. He had a 2.17 ERA in 21 years. So, Nolan pitched in a very tougher time. I get that. But Nolan's ERA is something that his detractors may look at, or the walks and everything. Nolan has striking stuff on both sides.
He
was a big arm, and on that night, if it was on, watch out. But that's pretty impressive looking at what Johnson did.
No, that's amazing. I was actually.
I like some of the nicknames, too, they have for him.
What was that?
His nickname was Barney and the Big Train.
Barney and the Big Train. I was amazed Nolan did it 61 times because of the stuff you're talking about, right? 61 times is incredible.
But it's not shocking because of the stuff we talked about, too.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Right. Because like you said, for that night, man, if it was on, look out.
Oh, he's one of those guys, if you knew exactly what he was going to have, then you could say he's my guy I'm taking for that night.
Mm-hmm. That's
true. Out of everyone. But you wouldn't do that because you don't know if it's that night.
The other dumb thing, and I don't know how to compare this with baseball guys from way back then, Walter Johnson's WAR, as I was looking at it today, like career, was like over 160. And I'm like,
yeah, it's pretty nuts.
I'm like, wait a minute. How can that be? What? It was like 164.3 or something dumb like that.
Well, he played for 21 years, so that, you can remember, WAR does add up. It is cume.
Yeah. It was, he's just one of those guys from the past.
Yeah, it's stupid, man.
So silly, some of the numbers they put up back then.
Six-time MVP, too.
Wow, yeah, that's big-time stuff.
With about an 8 or 9 year difference in between it. But back then, who knows? That could have been, I mean, syphilis could have hit the land.
Oh,
you know,
it could have.
Could have been some regional war. Who knows?
By the way, speaking of baseball, so postponed tonight for the Astros and Yankees. Because of that, I'm going to make some time for that Everybody Gets a Trophy podcast tonight.
Oh, thank you very much.
I really want to hear I get to hear your thoughts.
It's all right.
Coming out of Texas OU. Not that I don't enjoy hearing those, but I like hearing you and Paul go back and forth on it. And I really want to hear Paul's thoughts coming out of Texas OU and what he saw, what he didn't see. So I'm going to be checking that out tonight in addition to finishing up LSU Florida. I'm through like one quarter of that.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to get some medicine and sit on the couch, lay on the couch, and try and get through everything I can. We got any old schools here?
I got old schools for you next time. I got some good old schools for you coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, plus a little review of the documentaries I watched last night, including a nice little Tim Tebow story that I did not know about that came out last night in that SEC documentary. It's good stuff. All right, coming up, Jeff Howe of Horns 24/7 to talk Longhorns coming out of the Oklahoma game and headed towards Kansas. Remember, 6 o'clock kick for Kansas, so we start Longhorn game day, brought to you by Coors Light at 2 o'clock on Saturday. And of course, you hear the game right here on the Horn.